The Record is spinning here on KUOW Seattle. I'm Marcy Silman.
And I'm Ross Reynolds. Tomorrow is Earth Day, a worldwide event to celebrate environmental issues. Environmental issues are sometimes considered liberal issues. Our Democratic Governor Jay Inslee ran on making Washington more green. Conservative politicians have been known to deny climate change and support issues that have harmful repercussions for the environment. But Todd Myers, Environmental Director for the Washington Policy Center, says no more. He says it's time for conservatives to embrace environmentalism because Todd says environmental values and conservative values are often one and the same. Todd, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And of course, Teddy Roosevelt was a big environmentalist. The first Environmental Protection Agency came into place under Richard Nixon, a Republican. How do conservative values and environmental values align?
Well, I think it's ironic that tomorrow on Earth Day, most of the rallies that will occur in cities where people are surrounded by concrete and asphalt. And many of the conservatives who supposedly don't like the environment live out in the environment, out in the rural areas. And yet, many of the conservatives haven't embraced that, or at least don't say it publicly, what they embrace every day, because conservatives fundamentally believe that you have the freedom to do what you want, but you take responsibility for the impact that you cause. So if you put pollution into the stream and it kills the fish, conservatives believe that, you know, you need to take responsibility for that impact. And that's fundamentally at the heart of conservatism. We also believe strongly in the free market, which is great at promoting efficiency. And efficiency is nothing more than doing more with less, which is also at the heart of environmental ethic.
That works kind of on a theoretical basis, but marketplaces also encourage consumption and growth, which is sometimes at odds with environmental practices.
Actually, the cleanest cities in the world are also the richest countries in the world. Compare the air quality of New York City and Beijing. Beijing is much poorer than New York City, and yet New York City's air quality is much better. In fact, where you see the biggest problems with air quality in the world are people who are having to burn wood and getting asthma because they have pollution. So I think that there is a common notion that growth is at odds with the environment, but where you see the cleanest places in the world, you also see growth and prosperity. Just give you another example, the Prius, which people perceive as sort of a symbol of the environmental movement. It didn't come from government. It didn't come from politicians. It came from the free market. Toyota saw an opportunity to sell a car that could, you know, cater to people with disposable income who wanted to pay less for gas and help the environment. And they sold it. Politicians actually didn't know what the heck a hybrid was in 2000 when it came out and only jumped on the bandwagon with subsidies in 2003. So the free market actually is the best way to find those technologies that do more with less.
I'm talking with the environmental director of the Washington Policy Center, Todd Myers, about what role conservatives could have and what role conservative policies could have in improving the environment. Todd, as you're aware, the Republican Party is considered to be the more conservative party, and the Republican Party has really advocated for programs that have been considered harmful for the environment. For example, tax breaks for oil companies. How do conservatives square that?
Well, we obviously live in a world that relies on oil right now, but and so there's people who don't like oil, but we need to transition. And in fact, what we found is that increasing efficiency is something that everybody wants to do, every company and everybody in their personal lives. But the left also does similarly harmful things. So here in Washington State, we give a tax break for millionaires who can afford to buy a Tesla, a $90,000 luxury car. We give them a $10,000 tax break for buying that car. And people will say, yes, but it's electric. But the fact is that millionaires would have purchased that anyway. And so $8 million every biennium, instead of going to projects that could clean up Puget Sound or other things like that, go to those tax breaks. So what we see a lot in the environment and on both sides is that people giving tax breaks to their favored supporters, whether they help the environment or not.
According to a 2012 Pew study, support for tougher environmental laws and regulation declined in the Republican Party. It was 86% back in 1992. It fell to 47% in 2012. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, it's a real problem in the environment that the environment has become a political football. Both sides use it. And so on conservative side, they chant drill, baby, drill. And I think too infrequently conservatives say, yes, but we have to pay the price, or we have to pay the cost of the impact. If you have oil spills, you've got other things. Companies need to pay for that because that's impacting resources that all of us pay. But on the left, also, we spend lots and lots of money on things that don't help the environment. One of the words that you most often hear on the left from this governor and others is about leadership. But leadership also often means symbolic gestures. And so the left spends a lot of money on things that look good but actually don't help the environment. And the reason is that both the left and the right treat the environment as a political football to cater to their base, to certain supporters, rather than actually trying to help the environment. And so many of the policies that we have in Washington State that purport to help the environment actually end up doing more harm than good, because it's more about creating a positive image for politicians than actually helping the environment.
Todd, we're just about out of time, but instead of using the environment as a web issue between conservatives and liberals, is there an environmental improvement measure that you think could enlist the support of both?
I think that anything that puts the costs on individuals of their actions does a great thing. And that's what we see with most problems. I'm on the Puget Sound Salmon Recovery Council, and the problem isn't a few big, you know, factories. It's that it's problems from everybody, from a little bit of oil drips and everything else. And if you give individuals the incentive to find ways to do more with less, to use less electricity, to use less oil and gas and things like that, if they don't succeed, they pay the costs. Politicians and others can look good even if their policies don't work, and they still feel the benefit. Individuals and companies, if they don't do good things, if they don't save electricity, they don't feel the benefit. As much as we can personalize those sorts of solutions, the better we'll do.
Hey, Todd, thank you so much for speaking to us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Todd Myers, Environmental Director from the Washington Policy Center, talking about conservatives and the environment. Tomorrow on the show, a conversation with Dennis Hayes, the man who started Earth Day. He'll talk about environmental complacency and how you, yes, you, can avoid being environmentally complacent. This is The Record from KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds with Marcy Silman.